And this man now set out on a trip, and he was going to get olive oil. He goes to the first land outside of Lotkia, and he goes over there to the stores, and they're also out. They also didn't have oil. He traveled for another week to another faraway land that was farther than the first land, and they had oil, but very little, and it was very expensive. Then he started traveling very far away to faraway lands. They had plenty of olive trees, but he went to the stores and he says, I need a lot of olive oil for my whole country. He said, look, we can give you a few bottles, but we also need olive oil. How many bottles you need? He says, well, I need at least 1,000 big bottles to start with. 1,000 big bottles to start with, the big kind. They said, look, 1,000 big bottles, we can give you maybe 25, but if we give you 1,000 big bottles, we'll have nothing for ourselves. You have to go somewhere else. He traveled around different places, and each place, Kinalach, he was only able to get a few bottles of olive oil. There just wasn't enough to give 1,000 extra bottles. Finally, one day, somebody says, why don't you go to Eretz Yisrael? In Eretz Yisrael, they say they have a lot of olive oil. Well, okay, he'll try to go to Eretz Yisrael. He asked where is Eretz Yisrael, and he got Kinalach directions, and he started traveling to Eretz Yisrael. And he goes over there, he gets to Eretz Yisrael, and he asks people where to get olive oil. They say, you go up north to Shevet Asher, where Shevet Asher lives. And over there, I'm sure you're going to find olive oil, plenty. He travels up north through the roads, up into the place of Shevet Asher, and he gets over there, and he doesn't see any stores. He doesn't see any big stores anyway, because the other places he went even to big stores. Big stores crowded with people, with things all over the shelves. And those kind of places, they can give him 10 or 20 bottles. He goes to Shevet Asher over there. He sees fields. He sees people working the fields. He doesn't see any big stores. So he says, what did I waste my time over here for? I came all the way to this faraway place, and I don't even see a place to go shopping. I don't see big stores to go shopping. I just see some farmers and trees. So he asked somebody in the street, excuse me, mister, I need olive oil, a lot. And the man says, how many bottles you need of olive oil? Well, he thought if he's going to tell him, the man will probably laugh because so many bottles in any country, any big store. He said how many bottles you need, people laughed at him. He says, I need 1,000 big bottles of olive oil. He was prepared that the person should laugh in his face and he has to go home with nothing. And the Yid, who was walking and heard that he needs 1,000 bottles, he strokes his beard and he says, oh, no problem. Go to Yankel down the street. He'll give you 1,000 bottles, no problem. Down there's a little farm over there in the fields of the olive trees. And over there is Yankel. He'll give you 1,000 bottles, no problem. Now, this man who came from Lutkia thought, here's no big stores. And down the road, a little farm, Yankel in the little farm is going to give him 1,000 bottles. He thinks it's a joke. Maybe this Yid with a beard is making a joke. He didn't know Yidden with beards make jokes, but he thought this is a Yid with a beard who makes a joke. He travels down the street, and he finds this little farm, and over there he knocks on the door, and a lady comes out. Yes, can I help you? Is this Yankel's farm? Yeah, my husband is Yankel. He's working in the fields. Can I help you? He says, well, I came from a faraway place. I traveled for many weeks. And I need something. I don't know if you can give it to me. I don't see over here any big, gigantic stores. But I need for my whole country 1,000 big bottles of olive oil. Now, somebody in the street told me that I can get it here. I'm afraid he's playing on me a joke. The woman says, 1,000 big bottles of olive oil? No problem. Maybe you need 2,000? What? You're also a joker lady. 2,000? I couldn't even get 25 to 50 bottles in any big store in any country, and you're saying you can give me 2,000? And she says, of course. You need a few thousand bottles of olive oil? Here, Yankel will come, he'll give it to you. The man didn't believe it. A few minutes later, Kinalach, Yankel comes in from the fields, and the man tells Yankel what he needs. He says, no problem, come with me. Yankel took him over there to his barn where he has over there barrels and barrels of olive oil. He goes in and he starts filling up bottles. One bottle, 5 bottles, 10 bottles, 100 bottles, 300 bottles, 500 bottles, 1,000 bottles. And the man from Lodki was standing there with his eyes popping out of his head. He couldn't believe it. Yankel says, look, only 1,000? Take an extra few hundred bottles. After all, you need for a whole country olive oil. So take some more. Well, I don't know if I have so much money. Yankel says, don't worry, you pay me later. I have so much olive oil. Where do you get so much oil? From my fields, from my olives. What do you think? It's all the other countries, they don't have enough olive oil. How do you get so much? He says, listen, Shevet Asher, we have Hashem's bracha for olive oil. This is Hashem's bracha. This is not regular trees with regular olives like other places. This is olives and trees with Hashem's bracha. With Hashem's bracha, you get special. Hashem's bracha is special, not like other places. The problem now was not the oil. What was the problem now? You know what the problem was? Huh? Right. How is he going to get 1,000 bottles of oil back to his country? He came with a suitcase full of money. Now, as much of a schlep as that was, at least he's able to carry a suitcase full of money. Now he's got 1,000 big bottles of oil. Big ones. How will he schlep that back to Lutkia? So Kinalach, Yankel said, listen, you used your money to buy oil, and I even gave you a few hundred extra bottles, and you pay me later. I'll tell you what, I'll help you out. You'll also pay me later for this. We'll get you wagons, and we'll get you horses, and we'll get you donkeys, and you'll rent the wagons and the horses and the donkeys, and of course you'll pay later, and we're going to make a whole procession, a whole parade of your oil back to your country. And the Yid Yankel went around with the men from Lutkia. They went around different places, and they started to rent wagons and horses and donkeys until they had 100. They probably had maybe even more than 100 wagons, and they had horses and donkeys. They had so many animals. And he started loading the big bottles onto the wagons. And now the man is going back to his country with this whole parade, like a mile long, of horses and donkeys pulling wagons loaded with oil. And he comes back finally to his country, and people see this whole parade of big bottles of oil on wagons, and they come out, they get so excited. Hey, oil is here, we'll have lights in our house, we'll have oil to cook with. We won't have any more burnt bread and burnt cake. We'll be able to have delicious food again. We'll be able to have light in our house. We'll see at night instead of bumping our nose and not seeing where we're going. And they asked the man from Lutkia, the shliach, where did you get all of this oil? You must have found big, gigantic stores in faraway lands. You must have gotten them in big, gigantic stores. No. From one little farm in Eretz Yisrael. One man named Yankel. In fact, he gave me 1,000 bottles, and he gave me a few extra 100 bottles, and he could have given me an extra 1,000 also, but I didn't have enough money, and I didn't have enough room. I had to use extra money. I couldn't even pay for it all. I had to say I'm going to pay later for the wagons and for the horses and for everything. And for the extra oil. And so, Ken Alach, this is the bracha from Shevet Asher. What means Hashem's bracha? Hashem's bracha means it's not the regular way. Like, for example, it says, just one more little thing. When Yitzchak lived in Gerar, and this was during a year of hunger, of famine, where food was not growing in the fields, or just very little food was growing in the fields. There wasn't so much rain, there wasn't so much water. It was a very difficult year. So in Gerar was Avimelech, and Avimelech said to Yitzchak, you can live in Gerar. And Yitzchak had a place over there to live, and he had a field, and he took care of the field. And next door, the man next door had also a field exactly the same size as Yitzchak. Yitzchak took care of his field and grew the food in his field, and the man next door had exactly the same size field, and it was exactly the same kind of land as Yitzchak, and it was a difficult year for food to grow. So the Torah says, at the end of the time that the food now was growing in the fields, and they went out to get the food from the fields, the man next door gathered the food from his field, and he had one big bag of food from his whole field. He went next door to Yitzchak. Yitzchak, how much food did you get from your field? I got one big bag. Did you get a big bag? Maybe a half a bag. Did you get two bags? And he saw in Yitzchak's field, you know how many bags were there? 100 big bags of food. Yitzchak had 100, and this man had one. Why? Because it says, Vayivarachehu Hashem. Hashem gave a bracha to Yitzchak. Yitzchak had a bracha. Shevet Asher had a bracha. And Bechlal, the Yidden get a bracha. Who gives the bracha? Hashem. And Hashem's bracha is something that's higher than just the usual. That means Hashem's bracha, something special that comes into the world and gives something that's not the regular thing, it's a special thing. That's Hashem's bracha. Now, in the time of Yuval and Yuval, they had the getchkes only behalten, hidden. In the closet they had a getchke, in the tent, in their pocket they had a getchke, in a box they had their getchke, under the bed. You came into the house, you didn't see a getchke. Only in private, when nobody's looking, maybe only their good friends, they say, hey, you want to take out the getchke and dive into the getchke? Yeah, let's do it. But most of the people open didn't have getchkes. That was in the time, the earlier time of Yuval and Yuval. Yuval would take out his guitar and play a song to the getchke. He'd take out his flutie, make a song to the getchke, sing a getchke song. But only a few people, and only hidden. In the time of Enosh, it started to be getchkes open. You come into a person's house, and in the dining room, you see a getchke. You come into the living room, open. Nobody's ashamed. Right on the table, when you come into the living room, you come into the house, is sitting there a getchke. A getchke is sitting right there on the table. Nobody cares. You want us? I'm not ashamed. I dive into getchkes. I have it in my house. Everybody has it. There used to be a time nobody had a getchke. Only certain people had such a thing in their house. And even they were ashamed of it, so they held their head above halten. That was the earlier time. In the later time, it was mamish without a shame. On the table, you come into the house, and the person is not even ashamed to show you he has in his house a getchke. That was in the time of Enosh. Now there's two things. There's Shabbistik and there's Vachadik. Shabbistik, we know, is Halik. Halik means connected with Hashem, special, different, higher, not regular. This is Shabbistik. Beautiful and special and nice. But the main thing, Halik, connected with Hashem, that's Shabbistik. Everything on Shabbos, What you eat is connected with Hashem. It goes up to Hashem. The clothes you wear, the whole feeling of Shabbos is that everything is connected with Hashem. The whole world becomes connected with Hashem on Shabbos. That's Shabbostik. Vachadik kinalach means, like in the Vach, the Malachis, a person's in the world, doing things of the world, and it's very easy to forget about Hashem because he feels his own koyach is in the world. The person is doing things in the world, writing and going places and cutting things and building things, coloring things and painting things and cooking things. At first, when people called the name of Hashem, they said, Der Eibishter. Der Eibishter means the one who is higher. The one who is higher. Hashem is higher. Higher than the world. You can't figure him out. You can't see him. Hashem. Shabbostik. Then kinalach, they called the name of Hashem and they made it the Vachadik. They made the name of Hashem instead of Hashem. They believed in Getchkes. They called the name of Getchkes instead of the name of Hashem. And they were on Vachadik Azachen, pieces of wood, pieces of metal, pieces of glass, Getchkes, with two noses and four arms, with six eyes or 20 toes, or four ears and two stomachs. Big Getchkes, little Getchkes, Getchkes for rain, Getchkes for money, Getchkes to make a nice day outside, a Getchkes to make your stomach feel better if you had a boo-boo in your bichel. All kinds of different Getchkes for different things. If a person's sad, a happy Getchke. A person has a headache, a different kind of Getchke. A person had a bad dream, a different kind of Getchke. And they called these by the names of gods. They felt they had a koyach. You daven to the Getchke, it has a koyach to help you. This is Vachadik. Because only Hashem has the koyach, and everything else works with Hashem's koyach. Now I'll tell you the story, and you'll understand it. One time, there was a great Roman general in Eretz Israel in the time of Rabbi Akiva. This was in the time of the second base of Mikdash, or really the end of the second base of Mikdash, and after the second base of Mikdash, the Romans were in Eretz Israel. And there was a great Roman general, and his name was Rufus. And his wife, her name was Rufina. Rufus and Rufina. They lived in a big, beautiful house. And he was a big general. And he was also very smart. And he was asking questions about the Jewish people and their Torah that they learned. And one thing that Rufus, General Rufus, could not understand is why the Yidden don't daven to the Roman Getchkes. In other words, the Romans, they had different Getchkes, all kinds of different Getchkes, statues and Getchkes and different gods, and they daven to these. And the Yidden don't have any of these things, they only daven to Hashem, and you can't see Hashem. And he always wondered, why don't the Jews daven to our Getchkes? We have great Getchkes, powerful Getchkes. Why don't the Jews daven to our Getchkes? They don't believe in our Getchkes. So one day, his wife, Rufina, she says, Rufus, why don't you ask one of the rabbis of the Jews why they don't daven to our Getchkes and see what the rabbi says? Okay, I'll call one of the rabbis. Which rabbi should I call? And Rufina says, well, they have a great rabbi. His name is Rabbi Akiba. He's a great rabbi that the Jews talk about. Why don't you call Rabbi Akiba to come and explain to you your question? Ah, that's a good idea, Rufina. I'm going to ask him. You want to come with me? Oh, okay, let's both go to Rabbi Akiba and ask him the question. So Rufus and Rufina, General Rufus and his wife Rufina, they go now to Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Yisrael, and they ask him the question, why don't the Jews daven to the Getchkes of the Romans? Why don't they believe in the Getchkes of the Romans? Rabbi Akiva said to them, come back tomorrow morning and I will answer your question. They say, why? You can't tell us now? No, no, you'll see tomorrow morning I'm going to have the answer to your question. Okay, I need a little bit of time and you'll see. Okay, tomorrow morning, Rufus and Rufina come back to Rabbi Akiva and they ask the question again. Rabbi Akiva says, okay, I told you I'm going to have my answer now, and I have my answer for you. Sit down and I'll explain the answer. But first, I would like to tell you about a very interesting dream that I had last night. Would you like to hear my dream? And Rufus and Rufina said, yeah, we like to hear dreams. Yeah, we like to hear dreams. That's interesting. Rabbi Akiva says, last night when I was sleeping, I had a dream, and I saw two dogs, two doggies. There was a man dog and a woman dog. The man's dog, his name was Rufus, and people in the dream were calling, Rufus, Rufus, come here. And the doggie was running to them when they called Rufus. And the other dog, her name was Rufina. And people called in the dream, Rufina, come here, doggy, Rufina. And Rufina was running to them. So they're calling the names Rufus and Rufina, and the doggies were running and jumping. And then I woke up, I saw it was a dream. What do you think of that dream? And Rufus and Rufina, their faces were red. And Rabbi Akiva says, why are your faces so red? What are you so upset for? What's wrong? I just told you about my dream. And Rufus said, a dog? You dream about a dog? And with my name on the dog? How dare you? And Rufina says, and you dream about a dog with my name? Rufina? The great lady? The wife of Rufus? General Rufus? Who lives in the big beautiful house? And I wear all the fancy clothes? And I make all the nice parties for all my friends? And you have such a dream that my name is called on a dog? And Rufus says, and I'm the great General Rufus, that everybody calls my name with great respect. And they stand up when I come into the room. And everybody's afraid of me. And you call my name. When a soldier hears my name, he shakes. He polishes his buttons. He makes sure his hat is straight. When he hears my name, he can't sleep if he knows I'm going to come to make an inspection or I'm going to go and see how the soldiers are behaving. My name is special amongst the soldiers and even the other generals. And you have a dream with my name on a dog. How dare you? Rabbi Akiva says, wait a minute. Now you have the answer to your question. And now you'll understand. Not only are you going to have the answer to your question, you're going to understand why the Jews do not daven to your Getchkes. Now, Hashem is Halik. His name is Halik. Hashem is higher than anything in the world. Hashem's name only belongs on Hashem and on no Getchkes Chas Shalom. What do? You take the name of Hashem, and instead of Hashem's Halik name, you call Hashem. You say the Halakite goes on Getchkes. And you give the Getchkes names. You bring the name of Hashem. Of course, you make a mistake, and instead of Hashem, you're calling by other names. But you're bringing Hashem's name, who you should really you should really use for Hashem, the name, and you're calling it on pieces of wood, and you're calling it on pieces of glass, and pieces of rock, and all kinds of things, and you're saying, this is Hashem, and this is Hashem, and this is Hashem. If you get angry, Rufus, that your name should be on a dog, how does Hashem feel that his name should be on a getchke, on a piece of wood with three noses, and a piece of rock with four feet, and a piece of glass with six toes? Between you and a dog is not so much difference. And you get upset that your name should be on a dog. And Rufina, you too. Between you and a dog is not such a big difference, Rufina. And your name to be on a dog, you say, how can my special name be on a little dog? So now you understand, how can Hashem's name, who Hashem is higher than anything in the world and more halig than anything in the world, and even from the highest thing Hashem is higher, that we can't even understand how much higher than Hashem is from everything in the world, and you call Hashem's name on a low thing? How does Hashem feel? That's why we wouldn't, chas v'shalom, ever daven to a getchke. Hashem's name does not belong to any getchke. Just like your name doesn't belong to a dog, even though you and a dog are not so much different one from the other. You feel your name doesn't belong on a dog. Hashem's name does not belong on a getchke. And kenalach, as much as Rufus and Rufina were upset by the whole thing, they understood why Yidden don't daven to getchkes. You understand? This is what it means in the pasuk. In the time of Enosh, they made vachadik to call the name of Hashem. They called Hashem's name on vachadik ezachim, instead of halakite, instead of Hashem's name being only in a siddur and a tillim and a chumish, belonging to Hashem. They called this thing Hashem. They called that thing Hashem. This is a god and that's a god, and this is a getchke and that's a getchke, and they made Hashem's name vachadik instead of halik. Now, Ken Allah, Hashem also tried to warn these people to do tshuva. And some very, very interesting but sad things happened. In the time of Enosh, there happened a flood. Not in the whole world, but in a big part of the world. And out of every three people, one person got drowned in that flood. Because Hashem said, this big flood that's going to come, people should think, why is such a terrible thing happening to us? It must be that we are being punished for something wrong we're doing and we haven't done tshuva for it. And what is the wrong thing they were doing? They were davening to getchkes. And people didn't pay attention to the flood. They just said, it's a big rain. The rivers came up. There's too much water. It just happened. In fact, the getchkes must be upset. We have to dive into the getchkes to help us. Maybe the getchkes got angry, so we have to dive into the getchkes. Or maybe we have to make new getchkes. The old getchkes didn't work good. Maybe they made too much water, so the new getchkes have to fix the water. So they now blamed it on the getchkes, and they dive more at the getchkes. Hashem made earthquakes. The people should think, why is this earthquake happening? Hashem must be upset. He's making the ground shake. Who's in charge of the ground? Who's in charge of the whole world to make it shake or to make it not shake? Hashem. But instead, people davened more to getchkes, or they blamed it on the ground getchkes. Oh, it must be my getchkes is broken. It doesn't work good. It's making the ground shake. Let me fix the getchke. Get a new getchke. And Hashem also did another thing, kenalach. When a person behaves like a person, he's a mensch, he has the Tzelem Elokim, he has a bracha from Hashem. But in those days, people were not behaving like a person, but Tzelem Elokim, they became like animals. They were started behaving like animals. A person that is going to daven to getchkes is going to start doing other avedas. One thing leads to another, one aveda leads to another. Just like mitzvah gereres mitzvah. One mitzvah brings more mitzvahs, so the other way is true. Aveda gereres aveda. One aveda brings another aveda. The people started acting schlecht, like animals. One morning, kinalach, people woke up from their beds. I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of people woke up from their beds. They looked in the mirror and they couldn't believe what they saw in their pajamas. They saw a monkey in pajamas. A monkey was looking back in the mirror at them from the pajamas. But it wasn't just in the mirror. The mirror was showing who was really in the pajamas. It was really them. They woke up like monkeys. They looked like monkeys. Hashem turned a lot of people into monkeys. Hashem turned people into monkeys because they were behaving like animals. They mamash became animals. And so we see the goyim say that people came from monkeys. And what does the Torah say? That monkeys came from people. There are such goyim that say, where did people come from? They came from monkeys. Monkeys look a little bit like people. So a long time ago, there was only monkeys. And over many, many years, the monkeys became people. This is what some goyim say, how people came. These people, of course, should have pictures in their house from long ago of their relatives. They should have monkeys on the wall in pictures. Here's Zadie monkey, and here's Zadie gorilla, and here's Zadie ape. The goyim say that people came from monkeys, and the Medrash says it was another thing that happened, that monkeys came from people. And why did they come from people? Because the way they behaved. They behaved like animals. Hashem turned them into animals.